As you think through life, I want to ask you, what would you consider some of the most dramatic, significant, important events that have ever happened in all history? You just think about that for a moment. What are some of the most dramatic, important events throughout history? Probably meeting here as believers in Jesus Christ, the first thing that would come to us would be certainly the cross. That moment when the Son of God Himself purposefully, voluntarily went there to die. He was buried. Would death hold Him? Would He remain in that grave? No, He came out of that grave. Those kind of things. We think of the time when Martin Luther stood before the world, in a sense, and stated his case for what he believed. Think of the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea with Pharaoh's armies in pursuit, or when the Lord opened the Jordan River and they went into the Promised Land. Think of World War I, when our very freedom demanded that we win that war, World War II. Certainly the return of Christ will be one of the most dramatic events in history. Bringing up to date, some of you may think the Super Bowl game today is one of the most dramatic events in history, when the Broncos win 20-17. That's free. Good. Yeah. I think today, as we consider the battle here with David and Goliath, that has to rank among the most dramatic, significant, important events in history. Because there's a lot at stake here. It's not just David and Goliath. It's a picture of really good versus evil. Which will triumph? It's a picture of Christ versus Satan. Who will be triumphant? It's a picture of a hero against a bully, which we all know about in life. But you know, when David met Goliath, there was a further issue involved, and that was the freedom of the nation. Because Goliath said, if I win, the Israelites will serve the Philistines. If David wins, the Philistines will serve the Israelites. So every man and woman and child in those nations were involved. It meant freedom or slavery or victory. And people are locked into that kind of struggle today around the world. The Contras are fighting for their freedom. The people who want freedom in the Philippines are going to be engaged in war for that. The Afghan rebels are fighting for their freedom. So we know about these things and we have that going on in our life. Let's read from 1 Samuel 17, one of the most significant, important events in history. 1 Samuel 17. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 1, we read, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered together at Succah, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succah and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was between 9'6" and 10 feet. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of it was about 200 pounds. And he had bronze shin guards on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed several hundred pounds, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had eight sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The three oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul in the battle. The names of his three sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the third Shema. And David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers some of the dried grain and the 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. Carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare. Bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. He said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and the people answered him as the first ones did. And when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went after it, struck it, delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine."
And the Lord, and Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch in which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. The man who bore the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it was so when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it, and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah rose up and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shaarim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines. They plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine, brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. There you have it. One of the most significant, strategic, important events in all history. Now, there was a pastor once who was preaching on David and Goliath. And it was his custom to sip water regularly during the sermon because his throat would get dry. And one time, one of the ushers filled his water glass with gin. So he's sipping away, and by the time he gets to David taking the sling and killing Goliath and cut off his head, this man's putting on a show. I mean, he's got David stomping the tar out of Goliath using karate chops and everything. So he's really wound up. It's going to be a fun day. I'm sure glad you got it. All right, let's look at this scene. Consider the people involved. Here are the Philistines gathered on a hill on one side, Israelites on the other, and this valley between.
Now, the Philistines are a very advanced society, and they have weapons that are modern and beyond what most of the other nations have, and they're invaders. They have come into the territory as invaders. They shouldn't be there. They would never have been there if Saul had obeyed the Lord. But because of Saul's disobedience, now the Israelites are in trouble with the nations around them, and they have these invaders, the Philistines. So they're there. Then there's Goliath. Goliath of Gath. He's a giant. He's probably 9'6" to 10 feet tall. Giants are not new to us. They've been mentioned in Numbers. When Moses sent spies into the land to spy out the land of Canaan, the 12 spies went in and 10 came back and said, "There are giants in the land. We can't go in there. They're all over the place." So Saul is a giant from Gath. How would that be? Can you picture that? About 10 feet tall. Hey, Shelley, would you do something for us? Would you come up here and walk up here on the platform for me, please? Thank you. Now, Shelley, you're about 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". Okay, 6'5" and a half. And maybe I'm about the size that David was. I don't know. But this is about it, folks. Now, if he gets on me, he can kick me in the jaw and I'm through. But imagine that. This is what it looks like. And there's David and Goliath. Thanks, Goliath. You're a good man. Appreciate that. Give Callie, man. That's good. All right. So Goliath is there and David is there and he's got all of this armor. And he's a picture of the humanist. He's trusting in himself and what humanistic armor he can gather. And he's bragging and he's boasting and he's coming out to defy. Actually, he's a picture of the terrorist today. He's trying to strike terror into the army of the Israelites and he's successful. And being that large a man, you can imagine his voice. And the volume of his voice out through that valley and his challenge as he comes there. Then we have the Israelite army, and you remember as we read that these men are filled with fear, although they're great warriors. They have some men we read about, Abner and Joab are the leaders of the army, and there's some mighty men there, but they're filled with fear. They're panic-stricken. And it appears like they're willing to give up to try to negotiate or something here. And for 40 days, they've done nothing. Then you have Saul. He's a rejected king. He's been a failure. He's disobedient. He's a hypocrite. When he says to David, "Go and the Lord be with you," he doesn't really mean it. It's a trite saying. He's providing no leadership. He doesn't discern who David really is, that he's God's man. He's looking to human apparatus with his armor to give to David. Then there are these brothers of David. And they're filled with fear and jealousy and rage and anger against David. They're not believing God. They don't recognize that David is God's man. Then there's David himself. And David is a man who knows God. David is a man who sees this thing clearly and sees the issues. That what is involved here is the God of Israel. And the purpose of this passage is stated in verse 46 and 47. That this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, I'll strike you, and so on. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that he doesn't need sword and spear, and the battle is the Lord's. David understood this. His confidence is in the Lord. And he has been tending sheep. He has been anointed by the Spirit of God. He's tending sheep. And he isn't out there trying to elevate himself, not trying to promote his position, not manipulating people. He's waiting for God. For God to make the arrangements and for God's timing for him to go. Now think of his seminary training. as David was out there alone with God in the pastoral setting, learning to trust the Lord, having time with God, with communion with Him from heart to heart. And then he comes on the scene, and his battle with his brothers and with Saul may be worse than the battle with the enemy. And sometimes we run into that in our life. Some of our own family and friends give us more trouble than the real enemies. But David is humble, and he's careful with his reply. They accuse him, but he doesn't come back with counter-accusations. He just accepts that and thinks about that. Now, in our life, when we are being accused and we come back with counter-accusations, what happens there is warfare. And I think of how many marriages could be saved or could have been saved if we didn't keep making counter-accusations with each other. David didn't do that. Now, he did remember something. And when they questioned him about challenging Goliath, David said, "I remember that when I was out there tending those sheep and a lion and a bear came, God delivered me from them. And I was able to defeat them, and they didn't get the lambs." And here's what he believed: that the God who delivered him from the lion and the bear would cause him to defeat this giant from Gath, that God would give him the victory over the giant. And the result is that David went out him. Goliath is dead. The Philistines are defeated, and God is glorified. So David comes. He volunteers, trusting the Lord. He sees the issue clearly. Saul says, "All right, it looks like there's nothing else to do. You go and take my armor." And David refuses Saul's armor. Can't use it, won't use it, because he's going to trust in God and God alone. He is not going to look to promotions, methods, strategies, human apparatus, his own self-esteem. He's not going to look to any humanistic method. He's not going to allow it. And I think that some giants prevail at times in our life because we are trying to defeat them in and of ourselves with our own human apparatus. Don't use it. Take it off. Don't use Saul's armor. Now he approaches Goliath, and he hears Goliath's put down, the intimidations and the threats. "Who are you? You coming at me with sticks?" He says, "Come and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air." And David goes and chooses 5 stones. He comes back and states the truth to the Goliath and said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I'll strike you," and so on. He comes back with the truth. And the amazing here, the thing to me, when I read this, I read that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. I love that. Imagine that. He's got this giant here, and he runs at him to meet him. That's courageous faith. And he's got the sling. And he has been accustomed to using that sling, and it's a thing with a leather pouch and 2 cords on each side, and you put a rock in the middle and you wind it up and sling it, and there it goes. And that sling, they say that rock will sometimes go 100 miles an hour. And David was used to using that sling, and that's what he did. And he used the sling, and the stone sinks into the forehead of Goliath, and down he goes. Now, an interesting thing about this is that in the book of Judges, it says that in the tribe of Benjamin, there are 700 left-handed warriors in the tribe of Benjamin who can sling a stone and split a hair. Isn't that interesting that these men would become so good with that sling that they could do that. And David is there, and with that sling, Goliath goes down. What an event in history. David then goes and cuts off his head. The Philistines run. You see, they didn't keep their bargain. You can never make a treaty with godless people and expect them to fulfill it. And one of the things that God told his people continually, don't make a treaty that would be an unholy alliance. Now you take what we call communism today, which is a required atheism. To be a communist, you have to be an atheist. Therefore, to make a treaty with them is absolutely ridiculous because they never have an intention of keeping a treaty. And that's what we face. That's what they faced here. Goliath came out with this boast and said, if I defeat you, you serve us. If you defeat me, we'll serve you. They didn't do that. They ran. And the Israelites chased them in victory. And here is this event. Here, as David, the shepherd, the son of Jesse, faces Goliath and defeats him. Now, what conclusions do we draw from this for our life today? The purpose here is stated in 46 and 47 that all of these people would know that there is a God in Israel who defeats the giants. What conclusions do we draw today? Well, let me work on that with you a little bit. To say that today, we must recognize our giants. Every one of us here this morning have giants in our life. We need to recognize them. Sin itself is a giant. Death is a giant. We all face death. We don't like to think about it. We want to put it off. But it's real. Every one of us will die. There is the giant of hell, which is eternal separation from God. And upon the moment of death, every human being enters into an eternal destiny that is either or. Either to be with the Lord or to be separated from Him forever in hell. That's a giant. There is the giant of Satan himself, who is against God and who is against everything good and right. There is the giant of living here with a godless society, walking down the immoral road, not seeking righteousness. It's a giant. There's the giant of our own evil heart, which prevails so much in our life. So many giants. The fact that we are believers, we still have giants, and we're in spiritual warfare this morning. And we have habits that still prevail, that are giants. There is the lust of sexual immorality. There is the giant of financial troubles. There is the giant of our own health. The giant of pride and arrogance and conceit. The giant that cripples so many people who are unwilling to forgive and unwilling to love. The giant of fear. Fear probably cripples more people than any one thing on this earth and puts more people in hospitals than any other thing. Fear. How it grips our life as a giant. And anger. and jealousy and selfishness, cruelty, the guilt that overcomes and grips our heart, the marriage conflicts, the problem you're having on your job is a giant. We need to recognize these and not just go along in life playing a game. Recognize the giants. Secondly, we must acknowledge our inability to overcome them and take off Saul's armor and not trust in human apparatus, strategies, or methods, or our own self-will or self-determination or self-esteem. Put off Saul's armor. Nothing human can overcome these giants. It only hinders. So we recognize our giants. We acknowledge that we are unable to cope and deal with them, to defeat them. And now thirdly, we must rely on the Lord only. And the thing that we must remember out of this passage is not necessarily the heroism of David, but the God of David who delivered him. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that's how we come at life this morning. By the power of the God of David, with the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our champion. Every one of us need a champion to defeat our giants. And so we come to Him this morning to trust Him, to believe in Him, to rely upon Him, because He is able. And furthermore, the battle is His. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, every giant you face is God's problem. And He is already the champion who has defeated the giants. And what we need to do is to come to Him and keep coming to Him and keep trusting Him with the giants that are here today. And look forward to the day when there will be no more giants appearing before us. When we'll be in eternity with Him and the warfare is over and it's ended and all giants are slain forever. And we enter into that victory this morning because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He defeated sin and death and hell and Satan. And He is committed to us, and the giants in our life He deals with. We need to trust Him for that when all giants are slain forever. Be encouraged this morning. We have some giants now, but we have a way to deal with them. We have a champion. We have a Savior who has defeated them for us. Let me encourage you this morning to come at your giant, the crisis in your life this morning, with courageous faith, because you have a champion who has defeated that giant. We could sling a stone of faith this morning in the name of the Lord, and defeat the giant. And live by faith, because Christ is our champion. And as we close our service in prayer, I want to suggest to you that you do business with God this morning. And the giants in our life need not to overcome and keep on defeating us forever. Sling a stone of faith here in prayer this morning. In the name of your champion, in the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and acknowledge this, Lord, I've got a giant of a problem. It's too big for me. I can't handle it. I come to you. I will trust you right now. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, to you we come in prayer this morning. To you who are the God of David, to you who are the one who enabled David to have courageous faith to go out, to you who directed that stone right into Goliath's forehead, the one who dropped him in death, the one who delivered Israel from the enemy, we come to you. And we thank you, Lord, that we live on this side of the cross where we can see clearly that Jesus Christ is our champion, and that by his death and resurrection and present intercession that we can come at the giants in our life this morning. And help all of us here to be realistic today to say, Lord, we need you. We don't want to depend upon our own reasoning, our own intellect, our own mental manipulations. But we come and cast aside all trust in ourselves and all trust in others. And we come to you only, Lord, and say, save us this morning. Save us from sin. Save us from hell. Save us from the giants that confront us now in our spiritual warfare. Do a powerful work of grace in our hearts this morning to set us free in the victory which you have won for us. And cause us then to give you the honor and the glory as David had the right motive, that he wanted the giant defeated so that the world would know that you are God. And we come to you this morning with that plea, Lord, not for any glory for ourselves, not just to get us out of trouble, but that you would be known as the Lord God Almighty, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is our champion Savior. It's in his name we pray, and in his name we commit our life. Amen.